quick story of what happened this morning that those of you who saw my status maybe have read this already. But I just need to share it. Being a father is a privilege because it shows you something of your relationship with the Father, capital Father. It shows you something of what it could look like, what it should look like. Because remember, that child, those little ones, they are being trained. They are being taught. But there are some things that just comes naturally for them. Some things they just do because they catch the Father's heart. God has placed certain things in them that they cannot help. Just like us, there are certain things, there's an empty space in us. I don't want to say in our heart, in us, just in our souls, in our being, that wants to worship something. So, as Christians, we fill that hole by worshiping God, by singing songs to Him, by praying. And if you read the Bible and you start living like the Bible tells us a Christian should live like, what a Christian should live like, then you fill that with the love of God. You fill that with the fact that His Son died on the cross. You fill that with the blessings He pours out over you as His son and daughter. You fill that hole with the only thing that can really fill that. And if you're in the world, you try and fill that hole with many other things. You fill it either with an addiction to alcohol, an addiction to smoking, an addiction to pornography, an addiction to your children, an addiction to your work life, money, the big one. You fill that, you try and take something, this thing, an addiction, you try and fill that hole. You worship social media so much, you cannot go a day without posting, without liking. Somebody should, if I'm not posting today, at least I should like something that someone posted. As long as people know that I am there. That hole that we experience, that hole that we have, comes from a place that we want to belong. We want to be loved. And if I work hard enough, if I show my worth at work, the place that I work, that where I earn money, people will get to love me. People will get to know my name, and I will be worth it. Or, as long as I'm on social media, I will be worth it, and people will love me. As long as I post pictures of whatever, ooh, I will be loved. People will see my life. Sorry, I'm just going to switch this off. What's it going to be? And if I'm worth it, if I'm loved, then I'm filling that hole. But what happens when somebody doesn't like a post? What do you know what people do if they don't get enough likes or views on a post? Does someone know? Those of you answer? No, they do something. They delete the post. They delete the post and they try something else. That's what you said now. Yeah. They delete it. Because there weren't enough likes. Enough people didn't see my post. It's not good enough. So I'm going to delete that one. I'm going to try something else. I'm going to make a new post. Drian goes like, what? What is a post? But that's the world. Because that hole wasn't filled quick enough. The beauty of being a Christian, the beauty of being accepted into God's family, is that we don't need those things to fill that hole. That hole is filled with the love of God. And the love of God changes us. We cannot but change when we start experiencing His love. the sin that we live, the sin that we lived in, the sin that was beautiful for me, the things that I wanted to do when I was still in the world, is not beautiful for me anymore. To drink, it's not beautiful for me anymore. I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy drinking too much. I don't enjoy trying things that will not show my love to God. I tried smoking. I know it wouldn't, my mother wouldn't have liked it, but I still tried it because maybe it will fill that gap, that hole I have. I don't want to do it anymore. Social media. Yo, there was a time I was addicted to games on my phone. And that was after I was saved. And stuff like that also happens. But there's something that happens in us when Jesus walks into my life and I change. The way that I speak, the way I greet people, the way I love people, the way I invite people into my house. All of those things change. That's not my notes at all. I wanted to tell you this story, actually. Sorry. This morning, got up, made some coffee to go through my notes. And as I finished up, and I went to make coffee for Lisa, Lucas comes into the kitchen. I heard him wake up, and usually he wakes up and he goes to our bedroom, and he climbs into our bed until like we wake up and get up and stuff. He walks into the kitchen and I go like, "Jy's aangetrek." He said, "Oh, okay, cool." He walks past me. We got a rabbit. We got a bunny a week back. Okay, he went to the bunny. Pulled out his blanket, threw the blanket in front of the bunny's cage. He went to sit down there. I go like, "Oh, that's good." And I go, "Moet ek vir jou pap maak? Asseblief, papa." Take him. And as I give him his bowl of porridge, he goes, "Dankie vir die hassie, papa." And I thought, like, what did he just say? And I thought, like, "Wat sê jy, seentjie?" And he said, "Dankie vir die hassie, papa." And he hugs my leg because he was sitting down on the floor and he hugs my leg. And I'm like, what? Just, where did this come from? He realized something. I don't know what he realized, but he realized something. It took him a week, maybe, to go, his dad bought this bunny. I didn't buy the bunny for myself. I didn't need a bunny. I bought the bunny so that my children has stories to tell about them having a bunny. And we need to feed the bunny. We build a cage for the bunny. We take the bunny outside to the grass, try and let the dogs not eat the bunny, those type of things. That's why I've got a bunny. Took him a week, and he was just like, "Thank you, Papa." What it meant for him, I'm not sure. But there was something God placed in him. There was something that happened in his heart this morning. "My dad bought me a bunny, and I need to say thank you for that." I want to start this morning with, when last did you say thank you to the Lord for what He has done in your life? When last did Jesus go, waking up, "Lord, thank you for this new day"? Feels so simple. It's a bunny. We bought the bunny a week back. You didn't need to say thank you now. You had to say thank you a week back. They did. But do you still wake up in the morning and go, "Lord, thank you for this new day. Lord, thank you for a roof over my head. Thank you for a meal. Thank you for friends, family," whatever the case might be. That's off the notes. But for on the notes, Mark 1 verse 14 to 15. What did Jesus do when he started his ministry? Later, after John was arrested by Herod Antipas, Jesus went to Galilee to preach God's good news. That's what he did. He preached God's good news. Sorry. "At last, the time has come," he announced. "The kingdom of God is near. Turn from your sins and believe this good news." What's the first thing he does? I am the Son of God. Listen to my stories. Shows to God. He says, at last this time has come. What time? The kingdom of God. He doesn't show to himself. He doesn't talk about himself. He doesn't go, I am the Son. I am the one you should worship. I am the one who's going to die on the cross. No. The first thing he mentions is, God's kingdom is here on earth now. He shows towards his Father. And he goes on, other translations, that second sentence there, the kingdom of God, turn from your sins, so meaning repent, and believe this good news, the gospel. So Jesus started his ministry, for myself, trying to be a little bit structured, I went through this verse and take out the four things that happened here. He pointed towards God. He told us to repent from our sins, believe in the gospel, and that all of that is the fourth point is making disciples. So if we can break it up into those four. And what's the Great Commission? What did he tell us when he left to be with God? He said, go and make disciples. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, showing the one that you've baptized to God. Teach them to obey. Obey what? Repent from your sins. That's teaching them. What I have commanded you. What did Jesus command us to do? To believe this good news. What good news? The gospel. So the things he told us when he left to be with God are the same things he told us, or the same things that he started his ministry with. Make disciples, believe the good news, repent. So, and it's interesting for me, I only realized it this week. I've always held on to that scripture. First seek the kingdom of God and all other things will be added. We know that scripture, right? Now, it's easy to go first seek the kingdom of God. Yeah, I go to church, join communities when it's comfortable for me, when the kids aren't too much, when I've had this, when I've done that. That's seeking God first. I rock up, I serve, I pack some chairs, make some coffee. That's seeking God first, right? I pray, read Bible. That's not what that scripture meant. So that scripture is in Matthew 6, where it says, first seek the kingdom of God. There's another scripture in Luke 11, when Jesus teaches us how to pray. He said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come soon. Again, first thing we do when we pray, point towards God. There's this line, this golden thread that goes through the word. These are just four scriptures that I took out now. The Great Commission, Jesus starting his ministry, Matthew 6, verse, seek the kingdom of God. Luke 11, when you pray, first pray to God. There's this golden thread going through. God always first. In the beginning, God created. Do you guys get the idea? God should always be put first. But why? Why should we put him always first? Because he's so important. He's much more important than the things here on earth. His eternity. And when we die, and you have confessed and believed with your whole heart, you are going into eternity to him, to spend eternity with him. Meaning that you are setting yourself up now for what your eternity looks like. And And for a little bit of context for that, I went to, I took this scripture out of Luke 9, verse 57, where Jesus calls one of the disciples. He says, as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you no matter where you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but I, the Son of Man, have no home of my own, not even a place to lay my head. He said to another, come, be my disciple. He greeted, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. I'm going to pause there, meaning his father passed away and he wants to go bury him. It's quite an important thing to go bury a dead person. Someone who passed away, you know, they've been dear to us. Here's Jesus' reply. Let those who are spiritually dead care for their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach the coming of the kingdom of God. And they go like, no, surely not. Surely I can. This was Jesus calling someone. And now, context here. The context is a spiritually dead person. The spiritually dead person will have to stand account already in front of Jesus or in front of God. But there's something more important. You cannot go and preach the gospel to someone who passed away. But you can still preach the gospel. You can still share the good news to someone who is alive. And that's more important than burying someone who is already deceased. There's something more important to do than what you think is important. And this is a challenging thing because we live in a time where everybody else tells us what is important. And there are certain things that's important. It's important to look after your family. It's important to steward your finances. It's important to be a good business owner. It's important to love your wife. Those things are biblical. Okay, that comes from the Bible. Those aren't concepts that people thought out. They take it as if they thought it out and they write books about it and. But it actually comes from the Bible. So that is what happens when we read the Bible. Then we can live in that. But the way the world takes, let's take the example of business. You need to work hard to have a good business. You need to work 24/7. You need to be on your phone. You need to make sure that you spend every single minute of the day either on the phone, in front of your laptop, at your premises, whatever the case might be. That's the world. That's how the world tells us to be a good business owner. But what is the effect of that? The effect is you neglect your family. So are you being responsible to your family then? No. Are you looking after your finances well? Well, debatable because yes, your business is growing and growing. But are you really stewarding your finances? Because God actually asks you to steward your finances well towards his bride, towards your family, and towards your business. So where's your priority in that? How are you stewarding your time in terms of church? I'm not going to use the word church. Towards God's kingdom, as we read here. Are you stewarding your time towards his kingdom? Because if you are at work 24/7, do you join a Sunday service? Do you join a Wednesday community? Are those things important to you? Are you being challenged to go there? Or do you realize the seriousness behind coming together? Do you realize the seriousness about being fed spiritually so that you can actually grow spiritually? Do you allow God to challenge you? Or do you only allow the world to challenge you? No, my business isn't good enough. I should put in more hours. Yo, Adrian, sorry, I didn't ask you beforehand. Can I use you an example? Thanks. Dilian's shop isn't open on a Sunday. It's something that he decided. The rest of the franchises are open on Sundays, usually. He felt from God that his shop shouldn't be open on a Sunday. And that's final call. That's him being a business owner, but stewarding his time so that he has time to be with family. And not just him, but the people working for him. Every time I go to the shop on a Sunday, I'm thankful that I'm able to go to the shop on a Sunday. But my heart breaks for the people sitting there that's not able to spend time with their families on a Sunday, that's not able to go to church on a Sunday, that has maybe one Sunday off in a month, and then they're usually so tired that they end up not going to church. But the business owner he is, he got a conviction from God. And that conviction isn't just for him. It doesn't just has an impact on him and his family. It has a much bigger impact. And that is an example of what it looks like to steward your time well for the kingdom of God. Not just church. Kingdom of God is much more than just coming to church on a Sunday. So are you being challenged? Man, I'm sure that was a challenge at the start. Everybody else is open. I'm losing money on a Sunday. But God spoke. God entered my life. And there's a balance in these things. Two other challenges when we follow God in the Word. Mark 8, verse 34, 35. He called his disciples and the crowd to come over and listen. He says, if you want to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition. You should pick up your cross and follow me. Now, ask yourself this question this morning. What is your selfish ambition? Is your selfish ambition to... I'm just going to keep quiet. You fill it in. You fill in the blank. We all have that. We all have a selfish ambition. Fill it in. God says, put it aside. Pick up your cross. And then follow me. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news that the kingdom of God is coming, you will find true life. True life. God, Jesus is the truth. You will find him. You will find eternity with him. Another challenge comes from scripture. I used it a little bit earlier, Mark 9. Being a servant, he sat down, called the disciples. Then he said, anyone who wants to be the first must take the last place and be the servant of everyone else. And something else that's interesting here. We started off by saying God gave us this, or Jesus gave us this instruction to always point towards God, make disciples, teach them to obey. What is Jesus doing here? He is making disciples, so he calls his disciples closer and he says, let me quickly tell you something. That's making disciples, that's teaching them the commandments. Teaching the disciples the ways of how to live as a Christian. So, if you are a disciple, are you being taught? And I'm not just talking of a Sunday. Are you meeting with someone that can teach you things of Jesus? And then the other side, are you meeting with someone to teach them the things that Jesus has taught you? Because here, this is wisdom from God through Jesus to his disciples, to people who he is teaching to become apostles. Now, we're not all going to be apostles, but we are all disciples. So we fit this category of being taught. So, Here's the first thing. If no one has ever discipled you into something, if no one has ever taught you as a disciple, then you can tick this off after this morning. I'm going to teach you the first thing. Anyone who wants to be the first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you are following Him, one of the things He's asking is lay down your life to no matter who it is. Take last place. Be a servant. That's one of the things He asks of us. That's you being taught how to be a disciple. And it's our responsibility as we go about our lives to teach one another the things that God has taught us. I cannot teach you something that God has not taught me yet. And the same goes for you. You cannot teach something God has not taught you yet. But as you walk with Christ, God teaches us stuff. Here's a very practical one of what it means as we are making disciples. It says, go and make disciples, baptize them. Okay, so what's the first thing a new believer should do? Baptize. So if you've ever been baptized, I'm not talking about being baptized as a child. The word doesn't teach us that. The word teaches us that it's a conviction from the Lord. It's a choice we make to be baptized. Jesus wasn't baptized when He was a young boy, although He was perfect already. He only did that later in His life, just before He started His ministry, actually. And you can follow in that. The ministry you follow in is the ministry of making disciples wherever you go. It's not a set of rules. Please don't hear me this morning. It's not give your life to the Lord, get baptized, and then only you can start teaching the gospel. Luckily not. Luckily we don't get saved once we are baptized. We first get saved. And then out of a response, we get baptized. Out of a response of, Lord, Your word asks of me to get baptized, I get baptized. Mark 1 verse 9 to 10, where Jesus gets baptized. One day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and He was baptized by John in the Jordan River. Now please, guys, I've heard of people, yeah, I will get baptized once I get to the Jordan River. Knowing that person is never getting to the Jordan River. You don't even travel outside of the Northern Cape. Okay. Don't put ridiculous. If there's a pool, get baptized. If you don't have a pool, you know someone in this church. A few guys in this church has a pool. We've got a kiddie pool. It's big enough. You can consult you out. When Jesus came up out of the water, not when the water walked down His forehead. When He came up out of the water, He saw the heavens split open and the Holy Spirit spoke, said, descending like a dove, and God said, my beloved Son. I think, is that script? No, it's not there. It's the next verse. God spoke to Him. How beautiful is that? You want to follow in Jesus' feet, in His footsteps? That's a good example of what you can do. Get baptized. It's the only practical thing we can really do, which Jesus also did. The rest of the things we can try and do. Here's another one in 1 Peter 3 verse 21. This is why we baptize. And this is a picture of baptism, which now saves you by the power of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Baptism doesn't save you. The power of Jesus Christ's resurrection saves us. Baptism is not a removal of dirt from your body. It's an appeal to God from a clean conscience. It's not about cleaning. It's about telling God, asking God, actually pleading to God, please, the past life, the life that I've turned away, wash that clean. So if you're a disciple this morning, if you've made that choice already of following God, I want to ask you, have you made the decision to be baptized? Do you know that God actually asks of you to be baptized? If not, you know it now. And I just took out a few other things of what the good news or the gospel teaches us to obey. And I'm not going to go into depth of all of them, but pray. Matthew 6 verse 9-13. Pray like this, our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven. Give us our food for today and forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. If you're a disciple, are you praying? And if you're a disciple, are you teaching to pray? You don't have to make stuff up. It's in the Bible. Just open up your Bible and go like, hey, let's see what the Word says about praying. Ah, awesome. Quite easy. You don't know what to pray? Read these four verses. That's a good start. Love. Teach them to love. Matthew 22. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. As a disciple, are you loving? Do you love the person next to you? And as a disciple, are you teaching to love? And then live in the light. 1 John 1 verse 7. But if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from every sin. As a disciple, are you living in the light? And as a disciple, are you teaching one another to live in the light? Why would I live in the light? What does it mean? It means that, man, if I've messed up, I bring it into the light so that the devil can't hold it against me. If I had thoughts that I shouldn't have had, I bring it into the light. Otherwise, the devil is going to take you on. If I took offense, you take offense. You go and you say, I'm sorry that I took offense. Why? So that I can be cleansed from every sin. That's why I live in the light. And as a disciple, are you teaching the one that you are discipling, or the two or the three that you're discipling, to live in the light? Are you, you don't challenge them. God challenges them. But God can use you and can challenge people through you to live in the light. And there are many other things. I just took out these few. Baptism, praying, giving, loving, living in the light. Some of the challenges in the Bible, denying yourself, picking up your cross, denying your selfish ambitions. Quite a lot, quite a mouthful of things. So we as Christians are challenged. And as a disciple, ask yourself this morning, are you being taught? And as a disciple, are you teaching another disciple of the commandments that God gave us in His Word? I want to leave you with that question, those two questions this morning. Let's close our eyes. Lord, we pray. Not we pray. We say thank you, Lord. Thank you that you challenge us. Thank you that you move us, that we don't stay the same as the way that you've met us. Thank you that our lives change, our thoughts change, the way we do things, our habits, even our hobbies change, Lord. From living in the world to living for your kingdom, as your kingdom comes here on earth, as we walk with you in the relationship, and we lay down or we set aside our selfish ambitions, the things that we think is important, we set it aside to follow you, to pick up your cross, to tell people about the good news, to tell people about the gospel, so that your kingdom will advance. Lord, I pray that as we sit here this morning and as you are touching our hearts and you're shaping us this morning, you're bringing thoughts up that, oh, maybe I still have the selfish ambition. Lord, I pray that we will get to a point where we can set them aside. I pray that whenever you challenge our hearts, that we will step up to that challenge, that we will accept that challenge, and that we will get through that challenge. I pray that we won't run away from the challenges that you've set for us, that we will run away from the things that the world put in our way, Lord, that we will turn away from the sin, that we will follow you wholeheartedly, devoted, Lord, to the one and only, to the only one that can fill that hole we have. I pray that as we sit here, and if there's someone that has met you for the first time, or someone whose heart has been touched for the first time, that they will open up their heart's door, that they will invite you into their house, into their heart, so that you will be the king of their throne, the king of their life, and that they will start this journey with you, Lord, that they will repent, turn away, start following you, because you're beautiful, you're significant, you're much more than we can ever think and dream of, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, that you never leave us alone. Thank you that you keep on keeping on, that you always knock and you wait for us to open that door. Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy. Amen.